Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
It's mentally yours.
Hello, and welcome back to Mentally Yours, Metro.co.uk's mental health podcast. I'm Rachel Moss, Metro's lifestyle editor, and on today's episode, I'll be chatting about identity, fame, and mental health with James and Claire Buckley. James found fame playing Jay in the coming-of-age comedy The Inbetweeners, and now he and wife Claire share the highs and lows of parenting on their YouTube channel, At Home with the Buckleys. But before we hear from them, I've been hearing from all of you. As always, you've been getting in touch to let me know what you've been doing to support your mental health this week.
Every day, or at least whenever I can, I write my journal. So in the morning, as soon as I've got up, I write about 3 pages and just get rid of all the stuff that's going on in my head and focus on what I want to do, and then it's kind of done. So it's a place for me to leave all the blah.
As a mum to 2 small humans, aged 6 and 15 months, as a coach, as a trainer, as a supervisor, I find that I give so much of myself to my clients and my family throughout the week that it's difficult to find those pockets of time for myself. So I've started to create a new habit, a new routine. And every Sunday morning, a mum friend and I will go for a walk around the local nature trail. We'll laugh, we'll cry, we'll joke. And it's a great way for us to really enhance our well-being, to talk to each other, be out in nature and feel supported.
James and Claire, thank you so much for joining us. I'm really excited to chat to you both today. I'm going to try really hard to call you James and not Jay, because I imagine that must be very annoying. Do you still get that a lot?
Yeah, but it's fair enough. It's not a million miles away from my actual name, so it doesn't bother me too much.
Claire, how is that for you when people still recognise James from The Inbetweeners all these years on?
It's always quite funny, to be honest. Obviously, you know, the things that were said in The Inbetweeners, especially by James's character, are always quite amusing to hear when you're in the train station or Asda or whatever he gets recognised, but it's always quite nice.
We are, of course, talking about things like bus wankers. But hey, if you guys don't mind, that is great. James, obviously you found fame with The Inbetweeners at such a young age. Were you about like 19, 20 at the time?
Yeah, I think I was 19 when we were making the first series of The Inbetweeners. I'd been out of school for about 5 years by that point, and I was working and doing jobs and stuff, and I didn't feel particularly young. I think I was born about 50 anyway, so I felt like I was doing what I should be doing, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah. How did it impact you and your mental health at the time, suddenly being recognised by people in the street or, you know, being a household name?
It's it was something. It wasn't until maybe the second series where people started recognizing me on the street and things like that. It's something that's quite, I still find really confusing. It's not something that I've gotten used to at all whatsoever. And I'm not even particularly that famous. I mean, God knows how, I don't know, Brad Pitt or Tom Cruise operates. I like to hope that I'm just sort of a very normal bloke. And there have been times in my career where I've sort of stood back and looked in at what's going on and try and put some context to it in my head. For example, things like sitting on the couch talking to Jonathan Ross or Graham Norton or something like that. I always just feel like some bloke that was plucked from Dagenham and put in a suit and sat on a chair.
That's true.
Yeah, it is. I never have really felt like that's actually what my life is like. I'm still very normal. I still potter about. I'm still, you know, go down the high street and take the kids to school. And the only thing that's really different is that people shout "bus wanker" at me. luckily enough, everyone's really, really nice. But it's not something that I'm used to, or that I wouldn't say I was comfortable with it. I wouldn't say that I hate it either. But it is unusual having people, complete strangers, know who you are.
Yeah.
Obviously, it makes sense because I was in the in-betweeners, but in my head, it doesn't feel like that. I still feel like a boy from Essex.
Sounds like almost like an element of imposter syndrome. Would you say that's fair?
Yeah, I think everyone's got that, though. I think everyone has imposter syndrome. I don't think that's an unusual thing at all, but I'm definitely one of those people. Any kind of success that I've had, I put it down to pure luck. I know it's luck. I'm convinced it's luck. I've got friends. I know people that are way more talented than me. I grew up with people that are great singers and actors, and they've not had the success that I've had. So it must be luck. But whenever anything goes wrong or something doesn't quite work out, I do make sure I blame myself. So, but I think everyone does that.
Yeah,
it's very true. Claire, I've read that before you met James, or when you first met, you'd never actually watched The Inbetweeners, which I found quite crackers, but also quite fun. Maybe that's why you hit it off so easily. How was it for you dating someone who was in the public eye? Has that ever been difficult?
Well, I knew of The Inbetweeners. I knew it was a thing. I'd seen adverts and stuff. I just never actually watched episodes of it. It was something that just never happened. We were really young when we started dating. You know, we met at 20, 21. So it was just a sort of fun little ride at that time where, you know, sometimes people would want to have a picture with them or things like that. And we would sometimes go to posh little TV parties and stuff. So I think when you're that young, I just sort of took it in my stride, and it was, like I say, it was just fun. I think maybe if I was to meet James now, being a little bit older, I think it maybe would be a little bit more daunting and stuff like that. But yeah, no, it was just, we were just young enough to sort of enjoy it and have fun. But then also we had a baby quite quickly into the relationship, so I very quickly just sort of settled into mum life. So
didn't have really much time to think.
We moved quite fast.
I was making The Inbetweeners. We were having a baby. We were trying to get married. We were trying to buy a house. It was a really, really hectic, like in the space of about 18 months, checked off everything that you're supposed to do in life. But yeah, I don't think that the me being off the telly thing has been a problem. What's the word? Personally. I find the online thing, I've had to sort of, I've recently just deleted my Twitter account and things like that. That was always the problem for me. Just sort of, even when I got home, that's when you're at home and you're supposed to be in your safest part. If you're out on the street, everyone's lovely to you, but when you're at home, you're meant to be safe and sound. It's when people really get to you and say some awful stuff about you. And that's been something that's been difficult for me to deal with mentally and sort of confidence and self-esteem issues and stuff. And it literally is off of the back of Twitter. It's been a real sort of, I'm glad that I've got nothing to do with that now.
Yeah.
It's, or whatever it's called. It's not even called Twitter, is it?
Yeah, X. I can definitely attest to things not being nice on there. I'm sure, you know, nowhere near the volume that you've had, but journalists get all sorts of crap on there as well sometimes. And it can just be, it can be a very toxic space. I know you've mentioned in the past that you've experienced anxiety. Are you happy to tell us a bit about that? And was the kind of online world part of that experience, did it maybe fuel any of those feelings?
Yeah, I think it's mainly down to that. But stress and anxiety, I'm quite a stressed out guy. I do make a big meal of stuff sometimes, especially with my job, which, by the way, is the easiest job in the world. It's the best job in the world. It's so easy. I'd never once ever pretend that it's difficult or like my saying has always been, I've just always tried my hardest to not have to work for a living. And that's sort of the motto that I live by. But in my head, I'd sometimes maybe take things way too seriously. I remember when we were making the first In Between Us film, and we were sort of schizophrenic, all four of us. We were going up and down. One week we thought we were making the funniest film that's ever been made, and we were so excited and couldn't believe our luck. And then the next week, a couple of things would go wrong. We were out on a boat, like a party boat, for a week, and the weather was terrible and people were being sick. And Simon Bird, bless him, he's got a very sensitive stomach. And we were like just looking at each other going, oh God, I don't think this is right. I think we're making a terrible mistake with this film. I think we're ruining it. And I've carried that. I've kept that thought. A lot of stuff that I do whenever I'm on set, especially over the last few years, I've not been particularly active over the last 5 years, especially, because it is, I wind myself up. I sit there on a film set or in a studio making a TV show, and I just sit there going, all these people are going to catch on. They're going to find me out. I'm not supposed to be here. I'm going to ruin this thing for them. I'm going to waste all their money. And this is going to be a total disaster, and it's all going to be my fault. And then that's literally the sentences that are going through my head, and then they yell action, and then I get on with what I'm supposed to do. But since I've...
I think you balance it a little bit better these days.
Yeah, I think I listen to... It's just prioritising as well, and I think we're all guilty of that. Like you say, the nobodies on Twitter that don't even mean what they're saying, maybe just want a reaction or that sort of thing. Whereas I should just be listening to Claire and my wife and my kids. And those guys seem to like me.
Claire, how is it for you hearing James talk about this stuff? Because I know it can just be incredibly difficult when someone you love is struggling. How have you found that?
Yeah, I mean, again, I think it's that, you know, balance and bringing them back down to stuff that matters. Like I said, more recently, that you've definitely been a little bit more balanced. And I think some people aren't cut out for social media and, you know, a big interaction with people, because, you know, sometimes, you know, like James says, sometimes it's not very nice stuff. But I think what's important, and, you know, we talk about this with each other, about our kids getting older and, you know, the inevitable time where they're going to want to be on some sort of social media, is just to always make sure that you protect yourself as much as you can, and that you always remember that when you're at home, you know, and the day's done and you close that door and you're having dinner with your family and stuff like that, it's important to put, you know, devices down and come off of that and not let it impact every single part of your life, which, you know, sometimes is probably harder to do than to say.
Easier
but
said than done, isn't it?
Sure, yeah. But I think having, you know, like James says, having us, you know, his kids and me and family run about, that does help. But it's different for me because I'm looking at it from a totally different perspective. It's hard to understand being somebody who's so recognisable.
Yeah, it's lovely to hear that obviously you've got each other and you've got that support. And do you have any coping mechanisms that you've discovered that help you to just manage all of these feelings? I know for some people it might be therapy, or for others it might be something like cooking because you've recently done MasterChef.
Yeah, I've not sort of publicly spoken about it, but I've had therapy sessions and things like that online, which suited me. Mm-hmm. I got to sit here right now, so I felt quite comfortable, and just being able to talk through stuff with a professional was something that helped me a lot with self-esteem and confidence and things like that. And then shortly after I was doing those sessions, I actually signed on to do a West End play, which I never would have done in a million years. But if I felt like it helps me reason stuff,
yeah.
makes sense of stuff. The old brain there can be such a big old scribbly mess sometimes.
When you know you're being reasonable,
yeah,
it helped you understand that. It helped you notice that you were doing that,
yeah.
And it helped you understand that maybe what he was thinking wasn't true, and you know it was just inside that. Or I mean, I don't. It was your brain sort of playing these terrible tricks on you that can sometimes.
Yeah, that's
happen,
it. That's,
you know?
Literally it. That's basically what mental illness is, I guess, is your brain playing tricks on you. It's great that I think it's great that the online therapy thing has become more of a not an unusual sort of thing these days.
Mm.
Because just if you are sort of stressed and anxious, going to an office and meeting.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Someone for the first time and things,
yeah,
like that can be incredibly daunting.
Yeah.
So I think it's great now that just through chatting to someone on camera, over your computer, or even on your phone, I feel like that's going to help loads and loads of people. It makes it more available to people as well, which is only a good thing. I'm a real advocate of talking to therapists. I think we're living in a very odd sort of world. It feels like we're very far away from our natural way of living our lives. I think everyone could do with having a chat once a week.
Everyone needs therapy.
I do think so.
Yeah.
I don't think it's unusual,
no,
or bizarre at all whatsoever. In fact, I think it's incredibly common,
mm-hmm,
which again isn't a good thing, but it is what it is.
No, I completely agree. And thank you for sharing that, because, you know, the more we normalize it, the better. Because as you say, it's a good thing. It helps people, definitely. So you have had this kind of huge shift in identity from someone we know as being like a cheeky teenager on The Inbetweeners to now being a dad. And you've both got a very successful YouTube channel together, all about parenting and life and fun and highs and lows. Did becoming a parent shift your identity for either of you, or how did that impact your mental health? I know a lot of people worry about losing themselves or becoming a completely different person. What was that like for you?
I think it massively shifted my identity, because since I can remember, I had this goal in life that I wanted to be in a TV sitcom and I wanted to make people laugh on the television. And I was so focused on that from the age of, I don't know, 6 or 7. I was just obsessed with comedy. And that was all I wanted to do. And that was the be all and end all to me, James Buckley, comedic actor. And then obviously this little guy turns up, Harrison, who's, you know, one of the greatest people in the world. It's definitely a tie between him and his brother. Although I've got to be honest, some days one of them wins. And, you know. But it's that shifted completely. I went totally from I want to be on television and I want to make people laugh on television to, well, this is just hanging out with this guy. That's my most favourite thing to do. That's my ambition now. I want to spend as much time with this person as I possibly can. So that shifted my whole sort of thought process and the way I'd go about things. It no longer became, oh, if I do this job, will it lead on to this? Will I learn this? Oh, will I get to work with this person? Oh, wouldn't it be great if I ended up on this show? To someone offers me a job and I go, is it worth it? Do I want to leave this guy and you know, my wife as well, who I love spending time with, which is fair enough. I can say that, can I?
Sure, yeah. Public. Do you mean it?
Yeah, I mean.
Say it if you mean it.
Yeah, a pair of us aren't comfortable with PDAs.
No.
But it's that's what shifted for me. I became a dad. And yeah. Not only did I become a dad, but I became someone completely obsessed.
Yeah.
With spending as much time as possible. Any time that I'm not with my kids, I feel is time that's been wasted. Which I think most people feel about their kids.
Yeah, I mean, I was in the really, really lucky position, which I'm so grateful for, that I could stay at home with the boys and obviously James's work, which is, you know, not a normal line of work where he would maybe be away for a few weeks to film something or a couple of months here and there. And then he was home a lot as well. But I just, that was my number one job. That was all I had to do, was to look after these little kids and make sure they were all right. So I very quickly that was who I became. And, you know, like you said earlier, sometimes it's a little bit daunting because you can feel like you lose yourself, which I think you definitely go through that no matter what your job is, whether you're a stay-at-home parent or working parent, or I think you always worry about, you know, am I the same? Am I doing good enough? Am I losing myself, or am I not giving enough of myself? And, you know, we've always just said, if you're doing the absolute best you can, then, it, you know, your kids know that, and they only need from you what you can give them. And that, I just think, you know, we spoke to a couple of friends of ours who have not long had a baby, and I was chatting to her just about just how important it is not to try and beat yourself up, even though it's really, really hard, and everybody will probably do it. But, you know, we're coming out this other side where our kids are getting a little bit older, and we can, you know, they're a little bit more independent in lots of day-to-day stuff, and you can sort of sit back and look back on it, and you are just sort of like, we did great, we did fine, you know. There's the struggles, there's the ups and downs, but they're here, they're good.
We were actually laughing yesterday. Me and Claire were talking about when we got Harrison back to our little flat where we lived in at the beginning. And
After he was born.
Yeah. And it was the first time that it was just the three of us alone. And we laid him down on the bed. We both looked at each other and we just went, right, well, we've got to keep this thing alive now, haven't we? Yeah. And that was sort of the bar that we set.
I said it a little bit.
As long as we keep them alive, keep them
hydrated.
Fed, yeah. But it's obviously, you know, as Claire said, if you're doing your best, you're doing more than enough.
Yeah.
You're probably spoiling them, so you should stop. No, it's difficult, isn't it, to not worry about your kids. That's all they do, make you worry.
No, it's true. It is very true. What do the kids make of your YouTube channel? Do you think they'll get to the stage when they're a bit older and they go, oh God, mum and dad, you're so embarrassing. Why are you sharing all this stuff? Are they on board at the moment?
They're on board. They love it. We don't have them on the YouTube channel because we don't put them on social media or anything like that. So we do feel like even if in a couple of years' time where they think, oh, that was so embarrassing, at least they're not in it. So we don't put them through that.
I've done enough embarrassing stuff in public on the television. It's too late for me.
The thing is, I mean, we've got two boys who very much have James's sense of humour. So, you know, basically
They'll eventually outgrow me.
Everything James does, they find funny anyway. But the YouTube channel, I mean, has become, like, you know, James was talking earlier just sort of about the struggles with online stuff and things like that. So having a YouTube channel probably seems like something that he maybe wouldn't want to do. But we've managed to get this great little community of people who watch it sort of every week or when they can. And, you know, you really start to recognize names and comments and people. And because it's just such a, you know, lighthearted at home, we started it in lockdown, which I think straight away made it really easy to connect with people who were watching. We've just got so much in common with the audience that watches it. You know, we do stuff that we know that they'll like to watch or that they do themselves. And I mean, it sounds really mundane, but it's literally, you know, James will chat to the other dads about grass and how the best way to upkeep the lawn.
That's not mundane. It's genuinely quite interesting.
That is what our little YouTube community is like. So that's been, I think that's actually helped you quite a lot.
Really nice. The response was really nice. And I'm not saying that I deserve a good response to everything that I do or that it's my right. But it has been really good fun, our little YouTube endeavor. And obviously the children are the YouTube generation, our kids, and they want to be YouTubers half the time. And
yeah, I think being on YouTube,
so that's quite
better than the
television. That's impressed them. And they're desperate to be on it as well. They really want to be in our vlogs and stuff like that. But we've always sort of felt like it should be their choice when they're ready and old enough to make it. Because once you open that box, it's difficult to shut it again. And I wouldn't want to make that decision for them. I know right now, at the age of 10 and 12, that they really want to be on YouTube. But, you know, when they get to 16, 17, 18, they might go, I wish you hadn't have let me do that. So. Yeah. Once they're a bit older, once they're sort of 16, I think.
And do you think we'll still be doing it by then?
I will be. I'm sure you'd have left me by then, Claire, but I'll still be there. And by the way, I'm keeping At Home with the Buckleys as well as my brand name.
At Home with Buckley.
Oh, not quite the same ring.
No.
You shared so much with us. Thank you both. But before we let you go, we've got one final question that we do ask all of our podcast guests. And that's, what's the most important lesson you've learned about mental health that you'd like to share with the Mentally Yours listeners?
One thing, it's difficult for me to say one thing, but first of all, just remember it's not uncommon. And those people that maybe you don't want to burden with your problems and, you know, they're probably going through the same thing, feeling the exact same as you, but also too scared to talk about it. Talking about it is probably the most important thing, which I appreciate is difficult. You know, there's been times in my life where things are going through my head. And the last person I want to talk to about it is Claire. I don't want to scare her or freak her out or, you know, be a burden on her. I'm supposed to be the person who's I'm supposed to be the thing in her life that's not the burden. So I understand that, appreciate that. Do talk to people. Do talk to people.
Because they do want to hear it as much as you.
A lot of people, even when sometimes your brain tries to tell you otherwise, there's a lot of people in your life that care about you. Mm. And also give yourself a break. Give yourself a break. Sometimes tragic things happen in our lives, and that's a part of life. And people sort of go, all right, well, I better give myself a shake. I've got to get on with it. I've got to get back to work. You know, I can't sit around being sad all day. Well, sometimes sad things happen. And sometimes you just got to be sad. You'd be a psychopath if you wasn't sad sometimes. So give yourself a break. Acknowledge that it's okay to feel the way that you feel. Make sure that you talk to people. And I think that's the sort of the two key ones for me personally.
I agree. And sort of being on the side where, you know, being the other person where James, you know, saying that you maybe don't want to burden somebody or that sort of thing, you know, I can only speak for myself personally and us, of course, but those people do want to hear it, you know, and they do want you to talk to them. And then just on the sort of give yourself a break thing, I think what you touched on earlier, Rachel, is just like, you know, the same thing. If it's a barbecue that makes you happy, you know, if it's taking care of your lawn, if it's a walk in the woods, whatever it might be, you know, just be always try and remember to be kind to yourself as well.
Yeah, don't worry. If you can find a bit of respite from things, that's absolutely fine. Give yourself a break. That is literally it. And I know it's difficult. I know that we're getting pressure from everything. Don't drive your car anymore. Well, I just need to drive my car because I've got to get to work. Don't eat that. That's not good for you. Or that's bad for the environment. Like everything you do is that you're being, you know, there's so much pressure from all angles in our lives. So give yourself a break. Just do your best. That's all you can do.
That's it.
If you've been working hard all day and, you know, and you're trying to be fit and stuff like that, but maybe all you got time is for a cheeseburger from a fast food place, then just grab it and enjoy it because they're tasty. Give yourself a break.
You went from really good stuff there right into just what James wants today.
We all know what we should be doing. We all know how we should be living our lives. And we're all told constantly how we could have a life like this and you could be perfect like me. And we just got to remember, oh, hang on a minute, this is all a lie. None of that's true.
Nobody's perfect.
But it's really difficult to, I do it constantly having to remind myself, hang on a minute, that person's not a real, that, no one lives their life like that.
Yeah.
So give yourself a break, talk to people. That would be my advice.
I love that. Words to live by. I'm going to give myself a break and go and have a cuppa in a minute. Thank you both so much for joining us and for being so open today. Thank you.
Thank you for having us. That was really nice. Cheers, Rachel. It's mentally yours.
Thank you so much to James and Claire for being our guests this week on Mentally Yours. If you've been affected by anything you've heard today, please call the Samaritans on 116 123. You can find us on our Facebook group, Mentally Yours, and on X at MentallyYRS. And get involved. Please tell us what you've been doing this week to look after your mental health. Message Pineapple Audio Production on Instagram with your voice note. Thank you all for tuning in. Don't forget to follow and review for more podcast episodes coming your way soon. Mentally Yours is produced by Pineapple Audio Production. Bye for now.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.